Welcome to the Building Church. At the Building Church, we are committed to raising up people of balanced stature for Jesus in all phases of life. Join God's servants, Pastor Lois James, as she brings the word with clarity, grace, and truth.
Glory to God. Because I know that it's church. I love this moment. If it's only me, I will just take some hours. Just lay. I love the presence. I love the presence. And now it's making sense. Because as at 2 a.m. this morning, I had an encounter. Fresh one. I caught another covenant with God. I will share. I will share in course of the teaching. I'm telling you, I have tons of things to teach. Tons. And you will be blessed. So when I got here and the worship team were ministering, he told me that today is deliverance. Yes, not your idea of deliverance. For thou scatter, but the scattering is happening in the womb of your spirit, in your mind. That's the scattering. That's where it's happening. Hallelujah. Somebody's answered prayer is coming this morning. You have prayed, you don't even know what. This life is just like this. You don't know. Your answer is coming this morning. Thank you, Spirit of God. Hallelujah. This time, Sha. Come on, please let me celebrate my man of God. You won't know the reason why I like this man. Why I love to celebrate him so much. Like, is it your celebration? I'm so very unapologetic when it comes to celebrating him. And the reason is because, no, for people that know, the reason is not because he's my husband. That dimension day, the friendship today, well, that is my priest. And that is a true, I don't clap yet. Is it your clap? Don't mind me. Ah, glory to God. He's not just a man that sees. He's a man that see you for what you can be. Because left to me, sincerely, I love to sit down. People see me as though, you are the energetic, forget. It's a make-believe. Yes. So he see me for who I can be. And then he pushes me. No, there is more to you. I do not take this privilege for granted at all. Thank you so much, sir. So you can celebrate now. Hallelujah. Thank you for all that you do. God bless you. And so my mom is here this morning. Again with us. We'll celebrate you, ma. Thank you for all that. Please sit. God bless you, mommy. Thank you so much. And of course, please let me celebrate yourself. Today is a very long ride. Celebrate yourself. And for one reason, I don't want you to lose focus at all. Please sit. We've been considering a very powerful series. If anybody is out that's supposed to be him, let them in know. It's deliverance and nobody will be left out. Glory to God. A very powerful series. Power of what? Power of productivity. Hallelujah. And then Papa took us the first week, give us the definition of productivity. The second week, the perception of productivity. See, I'm not doing a recap this morning. The messages are online in a downloadable format. Audio, video, you can go check. Hallelujah. So this morning, we are taking on another ride. The grace and discipline of productivity. Yes. The grace and discipline of what? Of productivity. The grace and the discipline of productivity. The grace and the discipline of productivity. The God factor and man factor. I want you to put that in brackets. The God factor and the man factor. Put that in brackets. Hallelujah. So look at me. If you're so done writing, look at me. The grace I'll be talking about this morning is not the grace of Ephesians 2:8 and verse 9 that you know. We know that dimension of grace. Hallelujah. For by grace are ye saved. True work, true faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. That's not the grace I'm talking about. If that is all you know about grace, then it's not absolute. It's not complete. Hallelujah. The reason why I'm saying is not absolute. If that is your whole understanding of grace, you will see that in 1 Peter 5 and verse 10. Give me, please, let's be fast this morning. First Peter 5:10. First Peter, please help me. Please help me, I beg you. But the God of all what? All means that is not one. It's dimensional. Hallelujah. But the God of all grace, meaning that one that you know, the saving grace, is what was built to all believers at the point of salvation. It's not one. Grace is dimensional. And because you have had a lot of preachers say that we have basically two kinds of grace. We have the saving grace, and number two, we have the what? You must have heard it. Bible student. We have the enabling grace. Basically two. The saving grace and the enabling grace. The saving grace is the one that was given you at the point of salvation. It was for every believer. But this enabling grace, nobody can do it for you. Nobody can get it done for you. Jesus did that for saving grace. Hallelujah. But when it comes to enabling grace, no one gets it done for you. You have to get it done yourself. Say yourself. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. So it depends on your participation. And you have asked so many definitions of grace, that grace is unlimited access or merited favor. Glory to God. That's not all about grace. I will give you a very simple definition this morning. Very simple. Very simple. Where enabling grace is concerned. Grace, simply put, is any gift of favor from God to man. Grace is a gift. Is any gift of favor from God to man. You will understand it. Because as you are saying, it's a gift. I'm not talking about the saving grace. Bless you. It's the gift of God to man. You don't give yourself grace. Grace is bestowed to you. Hallelujah. And so what we are going to be doing this morning is balancing grace and works. Somebody say balancing grace and works. You see that topic, the grace and discipline of productivity. If you hear me say work, just know that I'm talking about discipline. Amen, amen. So works, just to define it, is an effort of man to obtain something. Your effort to obtain something. The enabling grace is not totally God dependent. The empowerment comes on you to do. To do. And that's why I said grace is not all that. It is an unlimited access. It is not, it's all God. I have nothing to do with it. Hallelujah. If it were, look at this church. Perhaps they call Papa to come and give a speech about this church. He will say, it's grace, your grace. But is it totally true? Is it absolute? So the grace put up these flowers, Abby. The grace put up this light. There was a work dimension to it. Just follow me. Is it right? Do we understand it? There was a work dimension to it. And then there are two persons of the belief that, everything we have is the grace of God. And there are some persons that, I did it all by myself. No, it is not independent. It is together. Like you, we always say, Gen Z, na kolabo. It is grace, it is works. Hallelujah. So the enabling grace is supernatural, but the doing is you dependent. The enabling grace is supernatural. Grace, I say, is any gift from God to man. Gift of favor from God to man. So that is supernatural. But the doing is you dependent. I know you did nothing on the path of salvation. You did nothing. But when it comes to the enabling grace, the one that brings about productivity and success, it is you dependent. You will see scriptures. So as I was doing study, I checked the life of this proverbial woman. You know the virtuous woman. The Proverbs 31 woman. Scripture speaking in Proverbs 31 and verse 29. It said many women have done virtuously. They have done, many daughters have done virtuously. But thou excellest. What gave her the distinguishing factor? No, the scripture didn't put us in the dark. If you check from verse 14 to 17, it shows that this woman, she had doings. Abby, is that how I say it? That woman had doings. She's a doing woman. She did. Every woman, every daughter has done virtuously well, meaning everybody has grace. But what brought about that distinguishing? Why was she so successful in all that she did? It was because of, from verse 14, she is like a merchant ship. She bringeth this woman. No, she understood this concept of grace and works. She balanced it so well. So if somebody come to her and say, hey, virtuous woman, please baptize me with the grace. I want the impartation of grace to be virtuous. Will the person will be virtuous? Answer now. The person will not. Now I'm not downplaying the place of impartation. Because if you come to Papa as well and say, Papa, impart me with the grace to be prosperous, Papa will pray for you. But the what brings about the productivity is you dependent. You have to walk. And could it be hands, legs, everything has been laid on you. And then you are not seeing the results because you have not walked. So a lot of persons will come to church. As the pastor is sitting down, they are waiting for the pastor to stand up so that they can use their bum bum to rub the chair as though it not go walk. I'm telling you now, it won't. Alone. I'm not saying you can't contact, but if you will not make do of what you contacted, it won't produce. Yes. You're not saying, maybe the prayer they pray for me, the person is not powerful. No. Enabling grace, although supernatural, but what brings about results? Work. Hallelujah. God has told you, you're going to build conglomerates. You're going to be a CEO. Correct business mogul. And then you just sat down with that vision. I'm telling you, you will sit down with that vision in years and it will not translate. It is not a course. Bible. So the day I know that you want to partner with what God told you is when you begin to take courses in line with what God has shown you. Take trainings. But believers just want to stand aloof and then just loaf around doing nothing. The grace of the Lord is upon me. My dear, that grace can be in vain. I will show you scripture. Grace can be in vain. In fact, many empowerments, many graces of many men of God on you can be in vain if you will not walk. You saw the virtuous woman. That woman understood. Do you know at a point I was thinking this woman, nah, Jehovah El Shaddu. Until I studied this woman, she had depth. That woman understand balancing. Because balancing doesn't mean that you don't need help. That woman had maid servant. She knew how to delegate. Are you getting blessed or blessed? Glory to God. So you come to me. I say, Mama, how are you able to do all that you do? I say, Mama, pray for me. Sincerely, I will pray for you from my heart. But if you will not do, it can't produce. It can't. It can't. So we don't just desire the success of men of God. We don't just desire their crown. We check the sacrifices that those crowns are actually sitting on. If you want to be like Pastor Jeremiah James, it's not by impartation. Is to study the discipline that produced that result. That's it. It will pray for you. It's on you. God gives grace. That is his own part. And that's why I say you should put in brackets God factor and man factor. Hallelujah. Are you getting blessed? I need us to lay this foundation before we write. And then the scripture that we have been reading in Matthew of the parable of the talents. He gave them gift. Whose gift was it? Is it not God's? He gave them according to their ability. And then do you know what happened? He didn't tell them what to do with the gift. He didn't tell them what to do with talent. He left it to their own common sense. To tell you that although gift is freely given, it must be accounted for. Although gift is given, it must be accounted for. Gifts are not free. Grace is not free. Although it's given to you, bestowed to you freely, you must account for it. And then the lesson there, I'm saying this because Papa has read the scriptures to us. I'm saying this because the lesson I got to learn there is that God is not impressed by his grace upon your life. He's impressed by what you make do of that grace. Yes. He's impressed by what you make do of that grace. Because when he came, he was not just, okay, you kept this thing and then he's rejoicing. No. The master was not rejoicing when the last guy returned it. No. What pleasures the father was those first two that transacted with the gift. And Papa said, laziness is brother to wickedness. Say, you wicked and lazy and wicked servant. Don't be wicked. Intentionally, I didn't say wicked. Don't be wicked. Tell your neighbor that. Don't be wicked by not putting to use the grace that is upon your life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are we getting blessed? So grace is a system of advantage. It's not a license to laziness. It's a system of advantage. It's not a license to laziness. And let me bring you to the people that just believe in hard work, also. I don't like that word for anything. Because do you know what hustle means? If you are here, you have to say, they also. May you not hustle in Jesus' name. Tell your neighbor that too. Because if I give you the definition of hustle now, you go run. Also is like working hard blindly. Yes. Working hard blindly. Without the grace. And it's like, look at me. It's like you running on a treadmill. When you are running on a treadmill, you know you are making motion. But that motion is not channeled to a direction. Although you are running, and people are saying that you are running. You are running. This is motion now. At least your leg is moving. You are running on a treadmill. That's also. When motion has a direction, there is progress. Like somebody running on the track, there is also a finishing line. That is a direction, and there is progress. The progress can be measured. May you not hustle. In the name of Jesus. Now look at the scripture before we go to discipline. I told you I'm going to show you. 1 Corinthians 15 and 10. Let's look at Paul. 1 Corinthians 15, 10. But by the grace, if you're a believer, please read this way. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in what? Was not in vain. Pause. I am what I am by grace. But that grace was not in vain, in that I did what? I labored. Are you seeing the work dimension? Are you seeing mass effort where grace is concerned? I'm not talking about saving grace. Oh, that one. We all have it. But when it comes to productivity, you see fruitfulness, my dear. And this is the order. Grace. Labor. Grace. Because you will see, it say, I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was on me. But the grace of God. So he understood grace. He understood the labor dimension. And he understood that everything is still all back to God. Let's run. Glory to God. How do you build a life of discipline onto productivity? How do you build a life of discipline onto productivity? See. Holy Spirit. How do you build a life of discipline onto productivity? When it comes to the word discipline, please help me write in charge. Just put that in quotes. In charge. Leading your life. I know God is our God. And we are nothing without him. But where discipline is concerned, you are in charge. Do you know I got to know that it's easy for some people to lead other people, but they find it difficult to lead themselves. the most challenging thing you would do, where fruitfulness, success, productivity is concerned, is leading you. Leading yourself. We come to church, we lead the Lord. He's a good leader. But how well do you know that he's a good leader? Because he leads himself. He's disciplined. And discipline is like the bridge between good intention and good action. I have good intention. Does it translate to good action? Because if I ask everybody, I begin to give you mic. Wow, fantastic. You say this, I want to do this. Amazing. But does it translate to good action? That's discipline. You can hardly see anyone that is successful in this life that they are not given to discipline. You can hardly see. And so if you desire a productive life, discipline is the vehicle that gets you there. Kinimoso, if you desire a successful life, discipline is the vehicle that gets you there. Let me give you two definitions of discipline. Then we'll go to how to build a life of discipline onto productivity. Number one, discipline is possessing a sense of mission in the pursuit of life. Discipline is possessing a sense of mission in the pursuit of life. Give me 1 Corinthians 9:26. 1 Corinthians 9:26. Discipline is possessing a sense of mission in the pursuit of life. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. I'm not running on the treadmill. So fight I, not as one that beateth the hair. You see, this life is lived once. Amen. This life is lived once. So you better use it wisely. You don't have a spare. A car that doesn't have a spare tire, does it drive roughly? Or she won't drive rough where life is concerned. It is Jesus that has a second coming. Your whole life you have come once, no come again. Yes, it is Jesus that has a second coming. Do you have a second coming? This is your only coming and you have come. So live it well. Thank you, sir. Discipline. Can you reiterate it back to me? Discipline, what is it? Possessing a sense of mission in the pursuit of life. Number two, discipline is also operating as demanded, not as convenient. Operating as demanded, not as convenient. If you like convenience, sincerely, productivity is not far from you in Jesus' name. Amen. Productivity is not far from you in Jesus' name. Let me take it. Thank you. I don't like any distractions, just see me. We are in church. Glory to God. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the hair. Discipline is also operating as demanded, not as convenient. Give me Amos 6:1. As you are giving me Amos 6:1, look at me. There are two persons in this life. The people who believe that, until I feel like doing it, that's when I do it. Just two categories. You cannot be sitting on the fence. And there is one that I do it, the feeling will catch up. Yes. I do it, the feeling will catch up. You see the former one, they will never get anything done. Because truly in this kingdom, we don't walk by feelings. We walk by doings. Ask your neighbor, you get doing so? You get doing so? You want to feel like it before you do it. Productivity is far. Success is far. Amos 6:1, let's see. What to them that are at ease in Zion? Complacent. What to them that are at ease in Zion? Hallelujah. When it comes to productivity, we don't do things as convenient. We do things as demanded. We do things as demanded, not as convenient. Hallelujah. Now, how to build? This is, see, if you have been sleeping, you see that my whole seat bed don't want to adjust, but by the Spirit I've adjusted it. Adjust your own now, because it's about to begin. This is where your deliverance is. Don't be distracted for anything. How then do you build a disciplined life onto productivity? Number one, I'm just sharing three things this morning. Number one, avoid laziness. Hi. You have had it, but this one, they carry life beyond mere words. What I'm saying this morning, I'm telling you, because I took time for people that I know their names. I started by mentioning name. I saw a picture that I was already here. I started by mentioning everybody's name from goodness. Yes. I started mentioning everybody's name. For the people I know their name of, I started mentioning, and I was not in haste. I will mention the name. Please sit. Avoid what? Laziness. Grace that we saw, enabling grace, is not a license for laziness. It's not a license. You have the grace. Walk. Walk. You know, I was hearing that there was a generation, maybe mommy will know because she's older than all of us here, that there was a generation that all the companies of the world, it was like Christians that were dominating. When they come to the richest people in the world, it was Christians. Because those people understood that although they have grace, they walk, they walk, they walk, they walk. And then it was so eroded by a new set of generation who just believe in her. We carry the grace of the Lord. We carry the grace of the Lord and then just sit doing nothing. But I know that a new generation is coming that will change. Because now if you check, it is not Christians who that will change. Yes. No. Just sit down. May your tongues translate. This is what I mean. Wait, this is what I mean. You go to the place of prayer. You now came out. Holy Spirit not tell you. Koyemi. No now. So you make people to look at us as Christians. Because this thing that I'm doing, although it's grace, God gave me the grace, but my dear sister, I've not slept up to 3 hours today. It's work. Because some people will come and say, is it not to preach? Come and open your mouth and I will feel it. The people that believe grace. And when you open your mouth and nothing is coming, you will produce anything. Yes now. You will produce anything. Laziness. In the highest places. So permit me, because I wrote it down, that I was going to use that example of audition. Can you permit me of choir audition that we are doing? Choir, can you permit me to share? So I was telling them, where grace and work is concerned, you're going for an audition. This is grace. So grace is like, anything that just come to my spirit, I believe it's the Holy Spirit that is telling me, Ben Oson, Dake, shut up. I'm your pastor, I will tell you. I was telling Papa that I'm bringing Koboko tonight. Koboko of the Spirit. Shut up. Don't do that thing. The Holy Spirit is not against you. Say it. The Holy Spirit is not against me. So you are going for an audition. Your work factor, your participatory role is that you check how audition is done. You check the thing they are judging you on. That is how to do it. So you did not do anything. You did not make research. You didn't train yourself. You didn't do anything. And then you want to be picked. How now? Help it make sense. So this is the path of grace. And then, the song, or you are already working. The song that came to your mind, you know that when the Holy Spirit supply it, is not anti what they are judging you against. So you now come. Don't say it's the Holy Spirit. That was your mind telling you. Your mind say, when you get there, you should sing Ekweme. Hey, Ekweme. Who should do the response? The judges. And you say it's the Holy Spirit. Stop that thing. Stop it. Another example. You want to go for an interview. You didn't make any research about the company. You didn't make any research about the CEO. You are going for an interview and you want to get the job, right? You pray, pray, pray. I'm not downplaying the place of grace and place of work. You pray, Lakim Rekedishka, Revinakata Legedeba, and the Holy Spirit, which I know is working in your favor, may tell you that, okay, go and make a research about the CEO. When you get there, it's Machine that is asking you. But you just sit down, pray alone, no research, nothing, nothing, no work. And you get there, you are doing bati. You say you did not receive the work, and I pray, stop it! Are you seeing where the result is not coming? You pray, you walk. I cannot be going for an interview. I will not make research about the company I'm going for. I walk as though there is no grace. And I pray as though I won't walk. Enough of tired of lazy believers. Enough. 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 Nothing is, I'm telling you, when it comes to the gift of God, that is grace. Cause see, Amulu Mala be something. It's pure. Check your own work. Check your own participatory role. Avoid laziness. Proverbs 24. Hallelujah. I'm looking at my time. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 6, 6 to 11. I'm giving this grace so that I can be fast. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 6, 6 to 11. And Proverbs 13, 4. Shall I get it? I should repeat. Proverbs 24, Proverbs 6, 6 to 11, Proverbs 20 and verse 4, and Proverbs 13, 4. Hallelujah. Let's start. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore, you see that therefore, that is where my message is. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Meaning the harvest of the sluggard is what is begging. What is that? You don't know how to interpret scripture. I told you that I love scripture. Your harvest as a lazy person is begging. Yes, oh, no be me in a Bible. I tell you, say, sometimes when you read Solomon, it be like, say, Solomon, they carry king, they flog you, they give you knock, say, get sense. Is Solomon giving you knock, not me? That's the harvest of a lazy person. A lazy person is a waster, and a waster definitely beg. Ask the prodigal son. Yes, ask the prodigal son. It was the gift of the father. It was the resources of the father, and then he wasted that resources. What happened? He begged to even eat with the pigs. Bible students, these are scripture. That's why I said last week, you cannot afford not to read scripture, because as the preacher is preaching, because you're a student of the scripture, you're also preaching alongside. Because it's not every scripture we can read in less than 1 hour preaching. Laziness. Many want success, but not the discipline of success. Everybody wants it. But you don't want to build system and structure. And you think all the successful people, they just got it by folding hands. No. The ant is wise. I'm now in Proverbs. Proverbs 6. The ant is wise because they work proactively. Go to the ants, thou sluggard, thou lazy. Go to the ants, thou Oluwa, a woman being hand and hand. Jesus. Jesus. Number two for time. Be consistent. Eish. In fact, now, deceive birds. We adjusted that. Readjust. Be consistent. Listen to me. Consistency is a compound effort. Consistency is a compound effort. And consistency is greater than intensity. I will explain. Shall I write that down? Consistency is a compound effort. And consistency is greater than what? Than intensity. Meaning what you do daily supersedes what you do occasionally. Yes. What you do daily supersedes what you do occasionally. And a small consistent action or changes when repeated over time can lead to significant and exponential results. Small thing that you do over a period of time can abound. So I said I was going to use this as an example. Yesterday we went out for evangelism. And then as we were walking, I discovered the way Papa was walking. I said, man of God, you have not done exercise in a while. You see, that 10 minutes exercise you do daily is greater than 3 hours you get in 3 months. Yes. Yes, I will tell you, because I did exercise physiology. The chemistry of how exercise impacts your body. That's it. You see, that 10 minutes you are doing daily, there's something we call response and adaptation. So that 10 minutes you did, that first day you did it, you told the body, the body is like, it's like they have introduced something, no. This thing that they have introduced, will it last long? Let's see. That is response. When you now do it the second day, you do it the third day, it be like, say, this thing, because your muscle is telling your body, it be like, say, this thing has come to stay. But compared to the 3 hours you do once in a month, or once in 3 months, the first 3 hours you do, the muscle, they are like, kilo shelembi. No. Like, what is happening here? Eh? What is happening here? So they are like, okay, let's see if this thing is going to be consistent. So you just did response, but there was no adaptation. The next 3 months that you want to introduce that 3 hours, that's intensity. Intensity where consistency is concerned. The next time that you want to do it, the muscle is like, oh, eto today, a cabo. And nothing is achieved, although you are exerting energy. Stop it. The same thing you do with your work of your hands. Now I know the reason. I'm telling you, it's not that I'm preaching, I know the reason why I read Human Kinetics. Idewole. You will never know that I was never a science student. I was never. Human Kinetics changed the other, but it's helping me today. And that's why I was, Holy Spirit. I abide if I budge. So if you are a size 18, and you desire a size 10 body. You desire a size 10 body. You may not be able to change to a size 10 body in a day. But you can determine to change what you introduce to your body daily. And then you will wake up one day and see that you're a size 12. Size 10. That's consistency. Do we understand what I'm saying? It's not what you do occasionally, is what you do daily. What you do daily is greater than intensity. I know that because I love exercise a lot. I was on the journey to being a fitness instructor. I mean, literal professional. Hallelujah. So in order to get the big things done, do the small things. It's the bigger picture you are looking at. But the bigger picture is just that when you do small things, the big things will align. And then it will give you capability to later do big things. Timbarowo hey. We always joke in our house because that's what Daddy used to say. Timbarowo hey. And my mom, she understood this power of consistency. Even the small one, on low amount to hey. Yes. It's the small one that amounts to hey. So when you do the small things, it will later amount to big things. And it will give you capability later to do big things. And that's why I love David. David understood that if I can kill the lion and the bear when no one is looking, I can kill the Goliath. I can take down the giants when everybody is looking. It started with the small things. And are you not seeing that the enemy is after your consistency? The big thing is productivity. The small thing is consistency. Because he knows that I may not be able to take your eyes off the big thing. That is productivity. But if I can succeed to take your eyes off consistency, these little things, you will not amount to big things. Yes. The enemy is after your consistency. It won't attack. Because he knows that an attack on your consistency is an attack on your productivity. Don't you see? Don't you see? Father, open down the heights. It won't do anything about the big result, but we do everything about the little things. Number three, take charge of your time. Adjust your seatbelt again. This is the last one that we adjust. Take charge of your time. Number one is what? Number two is what? Number three is what? Take charge of your time. I told you discipline. Discipline means you have to be in charge of your life. Lead you. Take charge of your time. You know, I didn't say time management. Because if I say time management, how many of us have not had time management? You have had time management. You have to manage your time. How to do all those things. You must have had it. You always say you change it. Take charge of your time. Because if you can't take charge of your time, you can't take charge of your life. If you can't take charge of your time, you cannot take charge of your life. And if you don't have a value for time, you start losing value without knowing. If you don't value time, you start losing value yourself. Because you don't value time, you start losing value without knowing. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Colossians 4, 5. The two scriptures. Ephesians 5, 15 to 16. Colossians 4, 5. Let's be fast, my time. For this ye know, that no, oh Jesus, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. 16. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Give me Colossians 4, 5. Oh yeah, now. Walk in wisdom towards them, thou without redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Taking charge of your time is your time. That's how you hear the song. My lifetime. Abi, life and time. For every wasted time is a wasted life. Simple. Yes. Lifetime. Abi, no. When you sing the song. Glory to God. And listen to me. In fact, look at me intently now. Now, please, look at me. Don't try it. Many of you are not productive because you are overscheduled, overextended, and overcommitted. That's the reason why you are not productive. You are in a lot. Submitted to 13 or 14 mentors. 15 units in the church. How many are you? You get another life. You get a spear. A car will not get spear. No, they drive off. What is after your productivity? What is against your productivity? Is because you are too overly scheduled. Overly committed. It's affecting your productivity. Have you not seen? Because anybody you submit to, you have given them opportunity to have a say in your life. And whosoever you are answerable to, you have given them the authority. You have given them your ear. And this one will be demanding your attention. Another one will be demanding your attention. Because you are obliged to them. Yawning, permanently tired, because you are too over. You are doing a lot. And I love what mommy said during the family meeting. Are you going through a lot, or you are putting yourself through a lot? That is a lot when you are over committed. Simplicity is key. Simplicity helps productivity. Complexity is an enemy to productivity. A lot. Why did I say it's a lot? It's a lot. That's why you are burnt out. You are too committed. Many of you need to begin to detox. You can't do everything. You are not El Shaddai. Else you shall die. And it's like the dying that started. That's why you are burnt out. Always tired, always sleeping in church. Because you are doing a lot, a lot. And listen to me. That you can do everything doesn't mean that you should do everything. Dami, I've updated it. And with your sisters. That you can do everything doesn't mean you should do everything now. Yes. That's what I added. Please sit. That you can do everything doesn't mean you should do everything now. Listen to me. There are so many sides to me. Ah, thank you, Holy Spirit. Do you know what one of the dangers of the people that are so gifted? Do you know their challenge? They may never be successful if they don't pay attention to one thing at a time. Because you are too gifted, you're like, ah, I can do this one, I can do this one. Which one should I do now? Oh, which one should I do? Ah, let me just do everything. You will never amount to anything. I'm part of. I was part of them at the point. Ah, should I do this? I can do this one. I can do this one. I can do this one. But I didn't know what to give my attention to part time. It's part time. You do things part time. You do things part time. There are so many things in me. There is a school in me. There is an institution in me. But what am I doing now? I am facing my home because my child is still in her formative years. Because I know that that's a ministry. My dear, it's a ministry. And I'm facing the church. That's a part of my purpose. You see that mystery of Mary and Martha. That one thing is needful. Oh Jesus. Do you know what I call the mystery of Mary and Martha? Understanding the devotion of Mary, but also understanding the discipline of Martha. Yes. Na collabo. Because what Jesus was saying then, if you truly understand, it's not that he's saying food is not good. Yes, so. It's not that saying cooking is not good. I mean, no, no. Wait, now look at me. Tell me, Bible students. It's not that cooking is not good. But now, one thing is needful now. So I know what I need to do part time. I told you, purpose is not a journey. Purpose is not a destination. It is a journey. And your purpose, your life is like a pizza. Leave it one slice at a time. It's only by a pizza. That's the problem. Now, when you see pizza, when you cut pizza, pizza is like in 8 slices. You cut straight, you cut down. Pizza is in, so your life, your purpose in life. I know that there are so many things God has told you, but you cannot do everything. You will not be productive. Yes. You cannot do everything at the same time. It's like a journey. Just journey with the Father. What are you telling me to do now? Now. Because you want to do everything. Haven't you seen that you are not productive? Haven't you seen? So ask the Father, what do you want me to do now? Imagine. I'm using myself as an example. I'm doing the building church. I'm taking the care of my husband. I'm doing my duty as a mother. Because I'm very intentional. That was the encounter. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That was the encounter I caught this morning. He told me. He said, do you know the reason why I sent you a lion? I said, no. He said, because I know that I can entrust this girl's destiny into your hands. No, it's not everybody that can mother a lion. That girl is special. And then you will see that I don't feed her every other thing parents feed their children. I don't make her do things every other parent. It's because I know that this one is given me, so I'm stewarding. I say, Chakatiala Barika Parini. I had my moments. It's not like the way I'm telling you, it's my encounter. So don't worry, you may not be able to feel it. I lay. It's a gift. I told you, grace is a gift. That gift to me, a lion, is grace. And he knows that I will do anything and everything. So you see a lion, or you see what I do, and then you are coveting my grace. No grace, I can't impact you. I can only pray for you, but you need to walk. You need to see I do research. You need to see I do research like crazy. How do I get to know that a lion cannot just go to any school? She can't go to any school. Because I know my daughter, she's not like every other person. And if you treat your daughter like, if a lion had to be in another woman's hand, The person will just say, okay, let me just train her like any other child. No, Elijah is not any, no, she's not any other children. No, she's not. She's not any other child. And I said, yes, Lord. You count me worthy because you know. And then that was when I remembered the prayer. He said, I know Abraham, we command his children. I remember that I prayed that prayer. Say, Father, you can look at me and entrust me with this destiny because you know I will bring her home. So that is a purpose. Yes, ma'am. That's a purpose. Imagine I say, okay, let me join fitness into it. Let me join fashion design into it. Let me join. At the same time, voila. And the English word for voila is wallahs. That's the English word for voila. Voila. I'm not saying not to do it. You will do it for the timing. Your life is like a pizza. Eat it one slice at a time. So there are many of you that just put the pizza together. Oh, then you go party That's what you are doing to yourself. One slice at a time. Tell your neighbor, one slice at a time. Simplify your life home to productivity. All of you that are in a lot. You are in plenty WhatsApp group. Kilo day and admin of all. Simplify your life. Must you do everything? Must you? I can do it, I can do it. One last set. I'm not joking. You'll be burned out. I told you I have an institution, a family life institution in me. Am I doing it now? No, because I know one need my attention now. My baby is still under 5. That is our formative years. I'm intentional. I'm not saying not to do everything God has told you, but asking, what am I to do now? So you set up to do list in a day. Hey, listen to me. People that come to me, they know. When you come to me, I ask you what God has told you, Abby. You ask me what God has told you. And I help you look at the people that are already into that thing. And I say, okay, go study this one. Go take this training. Anybody that comes to me for mentorship. Mentorship, holy. Seriously, if you want to be serious, that's when you will come. So I look at everything that the Lord has telling you by the eyes of the Spirit. So I'm seeing beyond what you are telling me. And I say, okay, there is somebody that is doing it like this. Okay, can you just want to take this training that can help you when you stand together with the people that already are the apex of cosmos? They will not relegate you. That's how it's done. That's how it's done. So you put to-do list. I will not forget that. I prayed before I come here. I immerse all of you. All of you. I immerse you. It's a deliverance. So you do to-do list. I see some people's to-do list and I say, how many persons are doing this thing? No, I ask, how many persons really are doing these things? Because one thing you don't know about routine. Routine is like everything you do every other day. So you wake up, you read your Bible, you cook, you sweep the house, you do chores. Those are every other thing. So there are already a lot in a day. A lot in a day. You now put 10 major tasks to do in a day. How many are you? Can't you see that's why you are permanently yawning and permanently tired in church? Papa will say, stand up. They will think they are using you as an example. They don't know, say you don't sleep. You have gone. You are doing a lot. And as a rule of thumb, after you have done your to-do list, your normal routine is like everything you do on a normal day. You cook, you eat, all those things. They are the normal you put in a day. You should not put any major task more than 3 in your to-do list in a day. Because if you want to do everything in a day, sincerely, you are a die. Why are you off my mic now? I will say it again. If you want to put everything in a day, your assistant tells Shaddai. And that is why you don't even factor rest in your to-do day. Papa knows. When it comes to major tasks, my major task is maybe washing the toilet. I know it's major. Washing the clothes is major. They are not routine. They are not routine. So maybe the day I did not put, I want to wash clothes there. Papa and I said, this clothes, I said, let it stay there because I scared. I plan a lot. If you not there my day, I no go do my own. We live to see another day. We live to work another day. If you work the whole work in a day, you go last. Not you. Do we understand this? Tips to manage your time wisely. Tips to manage your time wisely. Productivity. I'm not giving number one, just listen. Productivity requires intentional use of time. And time management is not an impartation. It's not a gift. You know, we have talked about the gift of God. That is grace. We are talking about discipline now. The man factor. Time management cannot be imparted on you. Receive the grace to manage your time effectively. What's that? It's not a gift. It can't be imparted. And without you knowing what to do in a day, you will waste time. And you don't set what to do in a day. You set what to do a day before. That is it. Don't you see that when you wake up and you're like, mo fe se leni o, 8 ilu, 9 ilu, 10 ilu, oh, neri kankan se. Because truly, the most active period of any man, I've done my research before I come here, the most active time of every human is in the morning. Even scripture is not anti it. Walk, why is yet day? For the night cometh when no man can walk. It's literal with research. It's in the morning. So you don't set what to do in that day. You set it a day before. Grace and discipline of productivity. And until you know the activity of the day, you cannot manage the day. Until you know what you want to do in a day, you cannot manage your time wisely. So even if it's midnight and I've not set my to-do, I wake up. And that is why I don't joke with exercise. I exercise a lot. I love it. And I don't love it because to lose weight. Because there is something it does to my mind. It's a nurturer. I'm telling you. The way devotion nurtures your spirit. And then reading or studying knowledge nurtures your soul. Exercise and eating right food nurtures your body. So proper recognition of the activity for the day. Proper recognition of the activities for the day. List everything you want to do in a day. List them. Tell your neighbor, list them. List everything you want to do in a day. And this is how you know what to do in a day. It falls under four category. Four category. What to do in a day falls under four category. If you have come to me for mentorship, perhaps I would have told you. It's called quadrants of time. Quadrants of time. That quadrant is called four. Quadrants of time. Quadrants of time. Number one, urgent and important activities. Urgent and important activities. So you know what is urgent and what is important. Those are the things that have deadline. Those are the things you must first do in a day. Do you understand this? When it comes to doing, working, discipline, your man effort, and managing your time, understand this quadrant. Number one, urgent and important. They are the things that have deadline that you must do first in a day. Number two is not urgent but important. Not urgent but important. So these are like vacation, recreation, medical checkup. They are not urgent but they are important. So those things, you schedule them. You schedule them. You don't have to do them because they are not urgent. You schedule them. So number three is urgent but not important. The things that are urgent but they are not important, you delegate those ones. You delegate those ones. Number four, not urgent and not important. You don't need to do them. Amen. This is where social media falls in. They are trivial. And this social media falls in. Some people have put it as number one, urgent and important. Wow. Can you not see that it's affecting your productivity? So now tips to manage your time wisely. I will run. I'm giving you just three. And I'm not explaining. I'm just listening. Listing, rather. Tips to manage your time wisely. Plan and prioritize according to this quadrant. Plan and prioritize according to this quadrant. Plan and prioritize according to this quadrant. You know, I've told you how to do to-do list now. You know, go and put 10 major tasks in a day. Kilo day? It should not be more than two or three. Major. With all your other routines, because your routine is daily. Number two, discipline yourself. I'm saying it again. You see that discipline is surfacing. Because a plan is as good as your discipline. Number one is plan and prioritize your time. If you don't discipline your time, a plan is as good as your discipline. Track your time and check what you are spending them on. So number three, develop emotional intelligence. Develop emotional intelligence. There is no such thing as I don't like doing it. I don't feel like doing it. We don't feel like in this kingdom, we do it. We do it. Tell your neighbor, if you have written it down, if you have written it down, mean God, tell your neighbor, if you have written it down, then do it. Hallelujah. And I end up with this. Give me 1 Corinthians again. Then we'll pray. 1 Corinthians 15:10. Look at. Oh yeah now. Let's read together. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. In that I labor. In that I labor. I do not put this grace in vain. In that I labor more abundantly than they all. Yet, not I, but the grace of God which was in me. It's grace, your grace. I'm nothing without you. It's grace, your grace shines on me. Listen, this is what it means. So that when somebody comes here and say, how come you have been this successful, and the person say it is grace, we will understand what the person means. In that the grace was not even labored. When all is said and done, you achieve all that God has told you to achieve. It will not be that it came to you by just folding hands. It was empowered, it was given to us. But what maximizes it onto productivity is labor. Hallelujah. And it's like what happened on a prize given day. You know prize given day, especially of secondary school students. And then there is this best student. Of course, you always see ladies, you always see girls. Permit my bias, but now girls are just glory to God. And then you just see this girl in school. She's the best student, best in mathematics, best in geography, best in English, best in this, best in that. And then you will see that most times their parents, they are always somewhere in the congregation, maybe in the audience. And as they are calling the girl, Princess Elion Jeremiah James, best in mathematics. Woo, 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 woo. You would discover that as they are calling the child locates where the parent is. And then as she gets the gift, she gives it back to the parent. This is what it means. Listen, in the concept of grace and work, the child reckoned that the gift that was given to her was that her parents bettered her and they sent her to school. That is the gift. That is the grace that I mentioned. But did the mother sit for the exam? No. Did the mother have A in mathematics? No. That was her own labor dimension. She sat. She did not put that grace in vain, in that she labored in the class. So after she got all the best, this best that, she still reckoned that although I labored, I give this prize back to the source. That is what we do. It is grace, work, grace. Grace, work, grace. Bow down your heart. Thank you, Father. Pray this prayer with the whole of your heart. I know we can compete with the world on works, but they can never compete with us on grace. They can never. So having these two, best productivity, will make you stand above. Say, Father, teach me to work with what you have given me. Show me what participatory role I have to play in what you have told me. Oh, Father, enable me to take steps that are required for the result I want to see. Oh, Lord, help me to work so that your grace in my life will not be in vain. Lord, raise me up as an army of doer.
and a zealous worker. Oh, I work hard and I produce rare results. I repent of every laziness, ignorance, inconsistency, and mismanagement of time. Oh, I repent of overcommitment. In the name of Jesus, I will not frustrate and make vain of your grace upon my life. Oh, Father, I pray grace for speed. I pray grace for favor. I pray grace for prosperity over the work of my hands. Let this grace empower me to act in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope you've been blessed. This is the Building Church. Our core values are spiritual growth, service and impact, personal development, honor, excellence, love work, faith, family life, and societal transformation. And our pillars are the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, prayer, and reaching out. Join us for our Sunday Glorious service at 8 a.m. and our midweek service every Wednesday by 5:30 p.m. at the Building Church behind Beckadim's Tanke Okyodo, Ilorin, Kwara State. Please follow us on all social media platforms at the Building Church. Stay blessed.